Torillian with Morris and Ritchie Associates. We're engineers, planners, and surveyors. Can see architect working in our Laurel office. It's 6 o'clock, and we're here for the Brockbridge North property community meeting. It's a pre-submittal community meeting prior to submitting a what the county calls a sketch plan. That's part of the first phase of the subdivision. And in accordance with 17.2.107, we're required to have this meeting to provide information 6 months prior to submittal. So this is a concept plan of what we want to submit. So there, we're still working on a lot of it, so I'll go over all that with you. The way I'd like to set up the meeting is there's a checklist of items that the county wants us to go over. And once I go over that, then we'll open it up to questions and comments and answers at that time. So this project is, like I said, the Brockbridge North property. It is located, this is Brockbridge Road. This is actually oriented to the north. The railroad tracks is on the top of the sheet. And if you were to go 1,100 feet toward the, to the left of the sheet, you would hit Whiskey Bottom Road. We are considered a private proposed project as opposed to a capital improvement project, which are projects that the county sets up and does for themselves. This property is comprised of two parcels. It's parcel three, which it's hard to see from there, but there's a property line that runs right through the project right here. This is parcel three. This is parcel four. Parcel three is owned by the Church of the Resurrection of Our Lord Congregation. And parcel four is owned by the Church of St. Mary Coptic Orthodox Church of Maryland Incorporated. Applicant is Brockbridge North LLC, and Jim Pratt is here representing them. The zoning of the property is now R10. It was originally R1. It's all went through the Region 2 planning process that they just finished up, and legislation was passed, and the rezoning comes June 23rd. None of this property is in the critical area. Critical area is 1,000 feet from the bay, since it's farther than that. So there are a number of items just to go through, environmental features. We're not in the area. There are no floodplains, but there is a wetland, non-tidal wetland located in the northeast, northwest corner of the site, located with the NW, and it has a 25-foot buffer to it. There are no steep slopes or steep slope buffers, but there, the site is, except for the existing church, this is church, which actually goes out in this location. There is a tree line that I highlighted in green so you can see better. So all of this area, so this L shape, is the existing forest on the site. And it's considered a priority one forest. Within that, there are, except for the one down here, there are 9 specimen trees, the green dots. There are 2 located in the development area. And then there are 6 located in this gray area, which is what we designate as forest conservation. So that would be placed in a permanent easement to retain the forest. And then there is one tree located up by Brockbridge Road. The site is, there is roughly 21.3 acres of existing forest. And the site is 29.875 acres, 20.2979 on the parcel 3, and then 9.570 on parcel 4. The idea was that they'd be combined into one property through subdivision process. The existing forest and this church is the existing use for the property. What is proposed is working with the church, relocating some of their parking lot to the west, and then providing a townhouse development. So these are all a combination of what we call front-loaded townhouses along the perimeter, and then alley townhouses within the center of the site. There are 64 front-loaded townhouses and 154 alley townhouses proposed on this site plan. Like I said, we're in the process of working out all the stormwater management, which is fairly substantial. If you saw in the letter, we have a range of density So there is a chance that we might not be up at the total 282 townhouses when we're done with adding a stormwater manager. None of these roads are considered public. We're coming in with a private road, and then there's a 24 and 28-foot parking road that wraps around. And then internally, there are 20-foot points that serve the backs of the townhouses. So the townhouses look out on greens, and this is a recreation area. There's a large recreation area here, here, and then over in this location. The right-of-ways for the private roads are range anywhere from 31 to 43 feet in width. There is a requirement. So this is looked at as two pieces. We will create a 5-acre lot that will serve the church so they can maintain their church and the parking required for the facility, which is 211 parking spaces. And then the rest of the property will be developed as a residential use. As part of that, there's a 30% open space requirement. So that 30% open space requirement is 7.46 acres. And at this point in time, we have about 8.5 acres of, it's a combination of forest conservation, rec areas, and then the green spaces along the roads and within where there's stormwater management. Stormwater management is, in Arundel County, it goes by the state, and they require, if you've ever heard, environmental site design, which is a quality management. And so you'll see throughout the site, there are these smaller stormwater management facilities that are either going to be microbial retention or bio swales. And then also due to the railroad and just runoff, we will also have a stormwater management pond that will provide some quality management, but mostly quantity management. There's a sign-in sheet. Also a recreation area requirement. For this, and it goes by the number of units, and that requirement is for active recreation is 2.5 acres. We are showing almost 1.5 acres in the active rec area that I showed you, and later I'll talk about the modifications. The limited disturbance, which is the area that would be the disturbed to build the development and build the parking, is approximately 19 acres high. There's a sign-in sheet back to the right, if you don't mind. And we are recording this. It's audio, just so you know. So the, for the residential portion of the site, they go to Maryland City Elementary School, which is closed right now for, according to Liz, Mead Middle School, which is open, and Mead High School, which is considered closed. But the county's in the process of redistricting, and there's also a legislation that was passed that see images in schools. We are not planning to disturb any of the wetlands of the 9 specimen trees. We are proposing to remove 2 trees. So that requires a modification from Amarillo County, and what that is, it's a written request asking to remove that new justification, and then there is a mitigation that's required that will some be done on site and some will be done off site. Of all the modifications besides the specimen tree, Amarillo County requires any clearing to be a modification, so there will be a modification just to clear in general. Part of their legislation. We also will have the active rec reduction based on providing amenities, and we're still working that out, but there will be some amenities provided in the development. The specimen trees, forest clearing, and then for even though these are private roads, we have to ask for a modification to private roads. Majority of the site, like I said, is town would like me to make sure I get across, so at this point, if you want to ask any questions or have any comments or anything with Simone, so if you have any questions for him.
I'm trying to see, like, right here?
This document?
Uh-huh.
Right here. This is my house.
Okay.
Is the tree line gonna stay here, like a shallow tree line, between the two developments, or is this one gonna be?
There'll
be some trees, but there would definitely be a 50-foot buffer to the nearest house from the property line. But some of it will be forested, some of it will be graded. But at the minimum, we will have to plant it if, even if we do have a 25-foot buffer there.
Okay, so there will be some.
Some trees.
Oh, okay.
Like all along or just?
Yeah, this whole one. And wherever you see the gray, that's actually staying in existing forest, so no.
Yes.
You said left side is Spring Creek Community. What is the left side?
That's Spring Creek.
Spring Creek.
It goes all the way?
Yes.
Yeah, that's Spring Creek on the left side of the beach.
Can you clarify that you said 50-foot buffer or 25-foot?
It's a 50-foot setback to the building. It'll be roughly a 25-foot.
50-foot setback, not 25, yeah, but thank you.
Between the two?
Between this property line and the other property, and their proposed lot line. Then you also have, I think it's like 50 feet on your side that's already in a forest.
Yeah.
We won't be touching any of that. That'll all stay in place. And then whatever happens here, the lots will be landscaping added.
So, when are you planning to start clearing the land?
I can speak to that.
Okay.
For those that came in late, I'm Jim Kraft from Elm Street Development. Marilyn and I work together on this project. I'm the developer. She's running all the engineering and entitlements. The timing, it really takes several years to get through the approval process of the county. So from like today to when you might see some activity on the site, it'll probably be several years. It usually takes 24 to 36 months at a minimum from the point of this meeting to when we actually show up and you see a shovel in the ground. So this is the very first step in this whole process, and it takes quite a bit of time.
Do you have any plans to connect that community to the existing community you're talking about?
Spring Creek?
No.
Spring Creek, yes.
No.
No, only access would be from the...
I thought you mentioned about...
Who's the builder?
So again, because it's so early on, it's difficult to predict who that might be. So just to give you a lay of the land and how our role in this is, we would manage the process of bringing the plans through their full approvals. And then when we're about 90% of the way done, we'll start talking to some of the typical builders in the area that you might see, whether it's Ryan Holmes or Lennar or Pulte. There's several national builders that we typically work with, but they typically won't get engaged until we have our plans fairly approved. So I would say ask again in 12 to 18 months and there might be some clarity on that. But in this area, we work with a handful of the national builders, so it would likely be one of them.
And the way the process works is like this is the first step, sketch. Once this is approved, we actually then have to go to what they call final plan. And after that's submitted, we will have another community meeting. So it'll be further in down the line, so we'll know a little bit more at that point in time. I did forget to tell you about the utilities. There is an existing water line in this location, so we would be extending public water throughout the whole development, a couple loops actually, serving all the townhouses. And then sewer, there is also a gravity line in this location. And we will be grabbing all the line, all the townhouses to a pump station, and from the pump station, because of this draining toward the railroad, we'll pump up sewer to that.
Question about traffic. Has an analysis been done of traffic on Blackfoot Road? I actually live in the blue house next to the church, Northdale. And I've already had our mailboxes taken out. I had somebody literally drive right across the front yard because there's too many cars, we drive too fast, there's no police presence. So you're talking about adding another like 400 cars
we have to perform traffic studies. This is the first step before we do any of that. We have to come out and show a concept plan. After we show the concept plan, we do all of our detailed engineering, and that includes a traffic impact study. And that's when we, you know, hire a traffic consultant, do all the analysis on those daily trips on what the impacts are to local roads, and the code details what you need to do to mitigate your impact. So that will be done. We don't have it tonight. This is literally the first step in the whole process. But yeah, we've heard that there's, you know, a lot of traffic on that road. It's obviously an older road with, you know, just two lanes in one direction, in either direction. What you'll likely see is what's been done with some of the other newer subdivisions along Brockbridge Road. You typically have to provide widening across your frontage, perhaps a turn lane, something like that. But again, until we get the detailed study back, it's hard for us to say, but that's what's typically done.
It's a very narrow road.
Yeah.
No traffic.
Yeah.
Yeah, without having the study, it's hard to say exactly what we would need to do, but obviously we want folks in the area to be safe and our future residents to be safe, so whatever analysis and mitigation is necessary, that's what we'll do.
I may have missed this one, but is it entrance and exit into the development?
Now, the church keeps its existing access
right.
point, but there's
church
only
one. Right here. That's existing. They won't be.
Yeah, they're separate.
So this is the park church that they're planning on building this on?
Part of the parking lot.
Oh, no. Their parking lot ends right here today. This is a wooded.
So that's just
the woods to the west of
Justin. So if you're familiar with the church, it's
yeah.
that existing entrance from basically the left up
to the church,
Spring Creek.
Right.
Yeah.
That's not a lot of space.
Yeah, that's what
yeah.
I'm
yeah.
thinking. It's like those are just tiny homes because it's not a lot of space in between.
It's 30 acres overall
in
the parcel.
Oh, okay.
It's a good size.
I guess it doesn't seem like
it's deep.
Yeah.
Is
it a
forest? It might be
yeah.
narrow, but it's actually, as you can see, it's pretty deep. So it goes back.
Yeah, it seems like a shallow.
Plus, it's going closer to that railroad, so that kind of
mm-hmm.
sense.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the application is in the back part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
will the application include any affordable housing?
Not at this time.
Area, because I know that that part of Brockbridge always has floods, and they usually close that side of the road whenever there's heavy rain and stuff. So, how will that affect all of this?
So the area is not in a flood zone. There's a different thing. You might have some flooding of the road in spots, and that's probably because the culverts are clogged or storm drain isn't where it needs to be, but you know, that'll be part of the traffic.
Okay, a lot of the flooding happens from
south,
down that way, where they just did a bunch of that stream repair work.
I get flooding in mine, and I'm just two doors down, so
yeah.
I do get flooding in mine. My backyard and my front.
I go down that direction to go to work quite often, and sometimes they will direct you,
yeah.
then turn you back around.
Isn't there like a gate or something?
Yes.
There's a little barrier.
For the train tracks, that's right there.
It's better since they worked on the stream or whatever that's there and expanded
mm-hmm.
it and put in all those trees for erosion.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a little better.
At this point, what has been approved?
Nothing.
What are they starting on? Nothing.
Now, this is I think we went over it at the very beginning, but this is the very first step in the process of starting to submit plans and starting the review and approval process. It's a preliminary meeting. We have 6 months from the date of this meeting to submit the actual plan.
Do we, as current residents, are we allowed to contest any sort of the plans that you might have? If maybe we're against anything that you are building or plan to build, you contest any of that?
But you can contest whatever you like, but you know, I think our goal is to have an information meeting with the folks that live nearby. That's the whole purpose of the meeting, is so that you guys aren't caught off guard, like, oh wow, they're building something today. The point is to come out and share what we're up to. And if you have any concerns, the point of this meeting and future meetings is to listen to any concerns you have and see if there's anything we need to take into consideration with our plan. So The goal isn't for us to just roll a plan out and everyone in the neighborhood not like it. If you have concerns, we'd like to hear what they are. That's what the point of the public outreach is. So, you know, you may not think of it today, or you might have something in the future, but certainly let us know if you have any thoughts.
Is it according to whoever the builder is, reassuring that this development has the parking that it needs in it, so that it's like, times you'll find that going up the road, some people will park on the side of the road if they're having company, a party, there's not a lot of parking. This development have guest parking to house?
We do, all townhouses require 2.5 parking spaces per unit, and we have to meet that. That's not a builder thing, that's part of the whole process. And so depending on what types of units you have, some of these all have actually four driveways and two car garage. Some of them only have two, and we do have extra parking throughout the development.
Just want to make sure they're not parking outside the development, like coming up to roads. Sometimes, you know, people block those roads.
Right.
Coming up, and it's already a narrow road. So
yeah,
just reassuring there's enough guest parking.
So we have to provide the number of parking spaces. What we can't control is once the community is built out and sort of turned over to the neighborhood, then there's sort of parking enforcement. So that's where it's sort of beyond our control, that we provide what's required, and it's typically more than enough. But if you have that one homeowner that buys five cars and they only have two parking spaces, like, that's the sort of thing that we can't help down the road.
So I think
you're
are you required to keep certain amount of trees? The most concern the trees that are behind my house, which is the back of the Tribeca. So,
are you keeping up with the same thing? We are here for the same reason.
Are you required to, by law, to keep?
There's a certain percentage that we're.
What's the percentage?
25%.
Overall, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that would include the wetlands?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's
okay.
All the screw that you see.
Do you have any like more detailed plan? How much trees going to be left on that side behind the Tribeca Trail?
Whatever you see in gray would be retained as existing trees.
Okay.
So I think what she was saying,
yeah,
Marilyn was trying to explain earlier, is that at a minimum, we're going to have a 25-foot wide planting area along that line, and that would be in addition to what appears to be roughly 50 feet of existing woods on your property. So in aggregate, that would be over 50 feet of planting between the back of your lot and the back of the lot on the pond.
So pretty much we're keeping our privacy.
So that's the goal, right? Yeah, we understand that.
Yeah.
And our goal isn't to come in and,
yeah,
and to impact your privacy completely,
yeah,
but
yeah,
it's also like, it's very difficult to develop sites in the county, so you have to kind of like take advantage as much site as you can, but while preserving as much forest as you can. So it's, you know, we think that we're doing our best to buffer that side of the site.
But just for my understanding, so by 50% of planting, you mean you may remove some trees and they grow new, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, so really our forestation requirements are a combination of retaining existing trees,
mm-hmm,
and then because we're removing trees, we have to plant a certain number of trees back. And then along that perimeter, we're deliberately planting trees because we know we have neighbors next to us. We want nice, new, healthy trees that will grow up and give you a nice buffer.
And we also, it's not showing up, but we'll be reforesting some of these areas on site too, which is a little denser planting than a forested area. We did hold back to it.
Are you planning to build a sidewalk on the block, whatever the road is?
On Brockbridge?
Yes.
But not at this time. I mean, that falls into the traffic study piece, right? So we have to study its traffic, bicycle, and pedestrian connectivity. So once we complete that analysis, there's a lot of inputs that go into that study, and that'll determine whether or not there should be sidewalk across the front. So like right now, the community immediately next door does not have full sidewalk across the front. So it's difficult to say, all right, well, we should put sidewalk across the front because you can go nowhere to one side and nowhere on the other side. You just have this little length of sidewalk. So what the traffic study does is it comprehensively evaluates all the pedestrian and bicycle and car access in this area and makes recommendations on what our mitigation would be.
Like between, in your plan, between the proposed finished project here, the church parking lot and where the townhomes start. Is there landscaping? Is there anything that makes it look a little nicer between the two?
Well, it's part of its active recreation area, so we will plant some of that. There's also stormwater management facility that are planted, combination of different plantings between road and their parking lot.
Have like a park, that square?
Right. They call it active recreation. Some kind of amenity in there.
Yeah, typically we'll build a dog park, a playground, something like that, because you know, just having a flat green space is not that great for our residents, so we try to give like a nice solid amenity that folks want to use.
And no activity would happen until the plans are approved?
Yeah.
It's sketched, final, then we also have grading permits. So it's a three-step process that we have to get through.
And that's the method. Approximately at least 24 months, right?
At least.
Just a guess of how many houses is going to be on each row, or is that how many houses is going to be on each
row? These little blocks?
Yes, is that the definite amount of, okay.
But it's not definite until we're fully approved.
Right. So, no, understood.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure that was clear. Right. Like, we're not saying this is definitely the number of houses.
Right, like, could they go back and, like, change the numbers?
How many houses are... As we go through As we go through plan reviews, the plans get massaged and changed. We get feedback from the county and we make adjustments.
Okay. In your drawing, how big are these townhomes?
Each little box that you see is 20-foot wide, town at 40-foot deep. So it's deceiving. This is 30
right,
acres,
of course.
And it's a smaller scale, so it doesn't look as big, but
it's just
And oftentimes we'll start with that 20-foot wide townhouse, and then we'll mix it up. Like, we'll make some a little bigger and some a little smaller. So this is our best guess for the range of the total number of houses. But by making them bigger and smaller, you mentioned affordable housing, or that gives us flexibility on price points. So we make a few smaller that are more of like an entry-level price, and then you make a few bigger that gives you a range of product rather than just one type of house in a neighborhood.
You are getting much closer to the railroad than like, you know, Spring Creek houses. Are you building any type of like, you know, noise canceling wall or anything to mitigate the noise from the railroad or not?
No, we're just retaining that forested area as a buffer.
I literally live right there by that reason. Nobody told us about that railroad track. And literally, the night we moved in, like I said, I'm right, literally right, I'm right here. We're right here. The railroad track is here.
Those houses
are going to have some serious, they're going to have rumble and jump.
Will be living in there, but she's right about the train. My house is much further from the train track,
mm-hmm.
and my windows shake.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that is something.
Especially if there's a freight train, it's like, what just happened?
Yeah.
I mean, you're used to it now, and it's not that bad, but we're back. They're going to be so much closer to it.
So we don't really have
the
legal ability to connect into other private property.
Okay.
Now, I mean, there's a scenario where if the adjacent HOA said, hey, we'd really like to connect to your sidewalk system, and that's something like we could talk about. These meetings go one of two ways usually. Sometimes folks really want to connect, and other times people like just to stay completely separate.
Right.
But that's why it's also helpful to have these sort of meetings so that there's some public input and we get a sense for what folks are looking for. But right now, there's no plan to immediately connect them.
I can see that if the builder end up being Lennard, which yeah. we're Lennard,
yeah.
it can it will end up connecting, like probably having some way path, because if you live in Spring Creek, if you live in Spring Creek, there's in the back area,
yes, exactly.
there's a
thinking.
Weird path that they built that goes nowhere.
Yeah.
And we're like, what is this path?
So I thought
I think that's
the
supposed to be too.
I think
that's
that path.
But even then, like the new community, the watershed,
yes.
like it's Lennard, Ryan, and everything.
Yes.
And they all kind of
connect.
They all integrate. So I think even if we're like that.
Yeah, it doesn't really need to be the same builder.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It could be once we're all done building and we go away, the two HOAs can talk and say, hey, why don't we connect the sidewalk?
Mm-hmm.
If it's something that you all are interested in now, we can look to see if there's. You know, oftentimes, we'll do little nature paths through woods, not
yeah.
just like a dead end.
Yeah,
that's
what
we have.
We'll try to connect
path.
Stuff if it makes sense.
But yeah, it's like. Literally, when they started doing it, they started to do the concrete, and they were started to do this little path. And every day I look out, like, what is that going to? Like, this is not making sense. And then we heard that they may build there, but we wasn't sure. So this is the first of us hearing that. But it makes sense
yeah.
if it does connect, because we just don't know what that path does.
Yeah, I mean, we can look at it and. You guys are interested, we're happy to see where it ends and if it makes there's like a logical connection point.
Yeah, they have a coffee shop by all means.
For Dairy Parking,
yeah.
So because parking is Spring Creek, the guest parking it overflows all the time. So
yeah.
even if we could like connect with our parking, you know, we can use some of their parking, that'd be nice too.
Parking is usually like a pretty hotly contested thing. I'd say that if you guys are interested in connecting, it's probably best like to start with a pedestrian connection.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Yeah. Our whole road concreted there, our homes, so now we have 2-car parking in every house.
Oh, they made them more.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
on my whole road, everybody has to come.
Like the traffic. Like I personally think there should be a sidewalk there in front of the neighborhood that whole area. Our neighborhood is technically. Supposed to be with that other one across. I forgot what it's called. Like we share a community.
Fieldstone.
Exactly. Fieldstone. And there's no sidewalk that leads up to that neighborhood. So even if we wanted to use any of those things, like we would have to drive there to use it. That whole road on Rock Ridge needs to have a sidewalk. It's not safe for anyone.
All the police commissioner or whatever, because we've been through this and they said people just have to call and keep making complaints about the traffic, the speed, the lack of police presence,
yeah.
Request speed cameras, and
are you a part of the HOA, or do you call in or dial in to the HOA meetings and so forth?
I don't know.
I'm part of Spring Creek's HOA. I'll make sure that, you know, it's something that we can talk about amongst us in the community. And then once this community comes to, if it's not done, then
yeah.
we, you know, rally together to have it done. But I don't think it's going to be done by one person. It's going to take the whole community.
Yeah.
And
yeah. Because this is, that's like all of these new people, it's like a whole new population they're adding. It's going to affect us. We're going to have a lot of traffic. We need sidewalks.
Backgrounds.
We need all of this kind of stuff.
Yeah. Are they going to have a pool and stuff in there?
Probably not enough units in here to support a pool. It would probably just be other planned amenities like walking trail, maybe a dog park. We've been doing a bunch of pickleball courts lately. It just sort of depends on how the plan comes together. But we try to provide a nice amenity package. With this many units, hard to really support a pool and a clubhouse without having really high housing prices. So the answer is no at this point.
Let's say if the plan is approved, everything is a go, you get the green light with everything, and then you start, you know, the builder starts the building process. How long is then the building process? Because then it's the noise, the construction, and all
yes.
of that, right? But then
yes.
it's going to then be affecting us.
Is there going to be a cutoff time of the workers, like if they, like when they start to build, especially for residents that's already there?
Yeah. So there's, that's a two-part question. So the first question, it's really difficult to answer, right? So if you have a very robust housing market, like we've been having, then people buy houses fairly quickly, right? If you have a slow housing market, say interest rates become even less appealing, you know, prices are difficult and it becomes a constrained condition, then house sales will slow down. So without really being able to predict the future in 2 to 3 years when we start, it's hard to say how long it would take them to build it out. There's a scenario where we have communities where they sell 100 houses a year, no problem. This would take, you know, 12 to 18 months to be done. And then there's another scenario where it would take a little bit longer. So it's really hard to answer that question. As we get further along, we'll sort of have a flavor for what the market's doing. To answer your question specifically, the county noise ordinance is 7 a.m., right? Now, we all know that you get a contractor on site, they like to get started nice and early. So, you know, that's technically the start time, and it's technically 7 p.m. cutoff, but if you have issues with it, really, you just have to call the
moderator.
From
7 to 7?
Will take to clear the forest area once you start to clear that?
Probably, I'd say, a couple weeks, 2-3 weeks.
2-3 weeks for the entire forest area to be cleared.
Because it can't, without getting too deep into it, you can't just show up and cut down all the trees.
No, I'm surprised that's short to me.
So you have to put in what's called perimeter controls, because when you take trees down and you have a rain event, there's really nothing protecting runoff.
Mm-hmm.
So your first step is you have to put in controls around the whole community to protect it during rain events. Then you have to get an approval from the county if that's occurred, and then you can start taking down the trees.
And you're going to build this probably in stages. So when the first, where do you plan to start?
It's kind of hard to predict at this point.
Okay, you don't know yet.
We wouldn't build, you know, all the houses wouldn't be built at once.
Right.
They'd be built as they're sold. And then typically near the entrance, you build a row of model homes, right? Or a model home. And then typically you work your way back into the site. But it's a little too early to know that exact sequence.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Once you start building after clearing the forest area, do you think how long that would take to build all the 218?
Again, it sort of depends on how the market's doing.
Okay. What's the latest? I mean, the longest.
Oh, God.
Can,
I mean, there's.
It could be a 3 year.
It could be a couple years. It could be
four,
a year and a half.
Thank you.
Once you get the approvals, or we should check online.
Yeah, so what happens, the process is, tomorrow we upload this audio, so you can go online, and it's up there for 14 days. You can make more comments then, if you have any. And then, like you said, we can submit within 6 months. Once sketch is approved, we also send out a notification that it's been approved. And then once final plans are submitted, we will have another meeting after we submit finals. It's called a post-submittal meeting. And the same, it goes up online for 14 days, and you have time to make comment then. And then once that's approved, we also send another notice out that final plan is approved. So you should get 3 more notices during this process to keep you, you know, in the loop. But again, tomorrow this will be uploaded, so you should be able to get right on the online, and it will be open for 14 days. And then we send out meeting minutes. Okay.
Thank you.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sure, I'm done, thanks.